I'll say it's good to see each one that's come here today. The preaching's been good. The singing has been good. The reminder of the coming to Bethel for me every year at this time of the year, that the meetings are starting back up and the joy of seeing one another, but most especially of seeing Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Seeing what God has done for each and every one of us, in spite of who we are and what we are by nature, and the fellowship that we have in Him. Because we don't get that everywhere. We can leave here and we can go out into the world and we can find fellowship even with God's children. And that can be good at times, but it's not the same as when you're in the kingdom of God here on this earth. It's not the same when those who've gathered have gathered because it's about Him and not about them. When it's about the Lord and not about us. And when we're taking in, being reminded of the grace that God has bestowed upon His people. Our Lord and Savior was speaking in parables to the multitudes there, and the disciples asking the question of why was it that He spoke to them in parables. And He said to them, "Blessed are your eyes, for you see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. But to them is spoken in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and that hearing they may hear and not understand." To be a part of the kingdom of God and to bless, to see the revealed truth of God in the Word of God is something we don't come across all the time. And in saying that, that doesn't mean that any one of us can just lay out everything all at one time. But as the brethren have brought before us, our need of God's presence among us, our need of God's blessings upon us, is what makes the meeting what it is. It's what makes our fellowship what it is. And it reminds us in a humbling way how much we owe our Lord. And how vain it is to become caught up in our own concepts of who God is and what God does. It was made mention of earlier of those who, want to take part of the Bible and just believe certain parts of it. The parts of it that happen to fit into what you think it should be, and that those other things aren't important at all. And I often think about that admonition at the close of the Old Testament, where there was the blessing if they observed all that was given to the children of Israel to do and to follow and to practice, and the curse that would follow them if they didn't. And at the close of the New Testament, we find, that if we take away anything out of the Word of God, that the Lord will take away our part out of the Book of Life and the Holy City. And I think about that oftentimes when I come across those situations where I see those who want to just dismiss God's Word, or certain portions of God's Word. I think when we start taking those things away, before long, we're going to be missing out on what God has in store for us. And if we begin to add to Him, He will add unto us the plagues that are written in the book. I'm just glad to be here. Appreciate this meeting, brethren who've showed up. And I want to read to you from the First Epistle of Corinthians, chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. The Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." I'm going to stop reading there. Certainly the Apostle Paul has covered much more ground than I would be able to if we had all day, and all night and the next day. And if each and every brother would read the same scripture and we all expound upon it, we'd never begin to do anything more than scratch the surface of it. The Apostle Paul is addressing the church that is full of problems. He's addressing one thing after another that's taking place within and amongst the church. Deceivers have come in. Men have begun to think more of certain preachers and to follow certain ministers and certain groups. And amongst them, all these divisions are coming up. I mean, there will be all sorts of things that will come up and be addressed by the Apostle Paul later. He'll address fornication. He'll address the resurrection, the belief that there is no resurrection. He'll address this following of men. Some preachers are thinking of them better than others. And he'll address all sorts of things that are going on in the church at Corinth. And this should make us stop and think first and foremost that just because those problems existed doesn't mean that they're not the church of Jesus Christ. Now the Lord's going to address that, and the Apostle Paul is going to address those things. But sometimes when you look around at people and you say, well, they don't look like they could be the church of God at all. And if you looked at Corinth and the things that were going on in you, you might say, well, I just don't really know if the Lord's in that matter at all. And I often think about when John records what the Lord gave him for the angel of the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. If you read about the book of, if you read there in that letter what is said about the book of Ephesus, you look at them and you say, well, that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. They are mindful of the things of God. They're doing the things that God has given them to do. They're going through the works and they're doing more of them than they ever did before. And they won't put up with false doctrines and false teachers and all those sort of things, but rather we'll be rid of them. But the Lord said, I've got something against you. You've left your first love. And that's something that we as God's little children need to bear in mind, that it's not about us, it's about Him. It's not about what we think, it's about what He gives us to know and understand about Him. And the reason that we're here today is to hear the gospel preached by the grace of God. That which is considered to be foolish to them that perish. Now we all know that those who don't love the Lord, we know that they're going to perish, have perished eternally. But I want you to understand that there's more than one sense in which someone may perish. And even we as God's little children may perish to the joy of the fullness of the things that God has in store for His children. Won't miss out on heaven. Won't miss out on that afterlife to come. The time when we enter into the reality of the eternity that exists within us today. The time when we look upon the face of Jesus Christ, because we are awake in His likeness. But I'm telling you that many of God's children will perish as we pass through this life from the joys, the fullness of the joy of fellowship and peace with God. The deliverance that God has in store and brings about through the preaching of the gospel that He has left here for us that we may rejoice in. And He's really, what He's reminding the church is, here, what He will be reminding the church of is what they have in Jesus Christ, and that the message of the gospel is not about us and who we are, but rather about who He is. That we may have that taste with an understanding, at least in part, of who our Savior is. Of who the one that was with the Father and the Holy Spirit and spoke the world into existence. Of the one who came and died on the cross of Calvary and bore our sins in His own body on the tree. The one, as Brother Smith said, who is the brightness of His glory. And the express image of His person. And Brother Jim, if you ever feel like you get a little more on that, just come and tell me about it. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot there. As you noted in your preaching, there's a lot more there than we can ever fully see or understand. But it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching that we may see Him with whom we have to do. You see, to the Jews, Jesus Christ is the stumbling block. To the Greeks who seek after wisdom, He just don't measure up. But a God that can be placed in a box and handled and dealt with however you feel like you want to. One that can be completely understood by such frail creatures as we are is not one that's worthy to be worshipped. A God who can be approached by you and me after our fleshly nature is not a God that can deliver us from it. A God who could be approached by you and me outside of His grace is not a God really at all. The Apostle Paul was struck down there on the road to Damascus, and Christ was revealed to him. often think about the Apostle Paul. He said, I was alive. Let's see if I can get it quoted right. I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. You know, it's hard to imagine. Think about the Apostle Paul without the law. I mean, he was raised up in it, around it. It was all over the place. I grew up at the feet of the greatest giver or understander of law that existed in his day and time. There was never a time that the Apostle Paul could remember that he was without the law in that sense. No, he had it since before he could remember what he was repeating. Paul said, I was alive without the law once. I believe a little child of God can be alive and not understand what the law is all about. Do you believe that just because we're born of the Spirit that we automatically understand everything that we should be doing and how we should be acting and what we should be believing? I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul understood very clearly that there was no way that could be true because he was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came and God revealed what that was all about, what happened then? He said, sin revived and I died, didn't he? You see, when you begin to see what the law is really all about, you'll see that it doesn't offer you or me anything. If we were righteous, it would say, he's righteous. The problem is, we're not.
That's right.
And so what Paul thought that he had and was built up on the law and what he thought he had built up as a means of righteousness when the law was opened up to him and he really saw what was contained in there. Sin revived in his mind and he died understanding that he wasn't able to keep it. And the Lord sent him to preach the gospel, the good news of God's salvation by grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's foolishness to the world. And all too sadly, because of deception, it's foolishness even to many of God's children. And many are called out of nature's darkness into the marvelous light of God. But few are chosen to understand the precious truths that are revealed in the gospel message. And if you and I have been blessed to see those things, we ought to be all the more thankful to God. And all the more willing to go, to hear, to have the things that we think and believe tested by the Word of God, because ultimately that is what brings the life that's in us to understanding. See, it doesn't bring the life, but it brings life and immortality, you know, to light. The light of understanding in the little child of God. So that we don't dwell in darkness all the days of our life, but rather may continue to fellowship with God in an even more intimate and close way. And Apostle Paul says, look, the Greeks seek after wisdom and the Jews require signs. But to us which are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. Many may wonder why we're gathered here today, what's so great about us gathering together at this time. Couldn't we be doing a lot of things that are more productive? I mean, that's That's really what Martha thought, isn't it? When the Lord came there and Mary was sitting down at Jesus' feet and hearing every word, and she was cumbered about much serving. And don't get me wrong, you think about it, that would be an important thing in your lives, that the Lord was showing up in your house, all of a sudden you'd be wanting everything to be all right too. And you'd want to be ready for supper time, and you would be thinking about all those things. I can just see me and Carolyn just scurrying around, trying to be sure everything's just right. Those aren't bad things. Those aren't things that don't have their place in our lives. But there's something that's more important for the little child of God, and that is to be at the feet of Jesus Christ, hearing His gracious words. Said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, we understand the Apostle Paul's not saying that God is foolish. We also understand that Apostle Paul's not saying that God is weak. But as men think of things, being foolish, the gospel message, the ways of God, being both foolish and weak, the Apostle Paul says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I remember one time years ago, I was coming to a meeting actually, and stopped at the store down below the house there and went in to get something, and the storekeeper's mother was a member of Hawksville Church. And so they knew who I was and dressed up on Saturday morning. They knew where I was going. And Sister Pearl wasn't there. She was upstairs. But her daughter and grandson was there. And another one of the clerks. And so she just asked me where I was going. You know, and what church was going to. And I said, and on. And it was one of the clerks was there. And she didn't know anything about union meetings or Old Baptist at all, really. That much, and then she just asked about it, what it was. And I said, well, we go to the service, and we have a worship service in the morning. We'll have two or three, whatever number of ministers to preach. And then I said, we'll break and have lunch. And I said, then we'll come back after lunch and sing a little and have some more preachers to preach. And then we'll break for the day, you know. And it was... looked at me and said, well, all that may sound good, but nobody can take in that much at one time. And you know, if it was just about intellectual learning, that would be true. If it was just about what you and I could provide each other in the way of natural intellect, that would be entirely true. But when Christ pours out His blessings upon His people and opens our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand, and to truly see in our minds the glory of the risen Son of God, it's so much more. You see, you call Him brethren. As it not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That's what we're here today. To hear the foolish things that the world thinks so. But to us, it's the power of God. It's the glory of God. It's the peace of God. And it's food to the soul, the inward man. and a little born again child of God. As the Lord opens our minds and reveals His truth in His Word, that we may see and that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not in the sense of having heartfelt belief that comes in the new birth, that stems from the faith that is a fruit of the Spirit of Christ that works in us. I'm talking about for us to believe in our minds and truly act upon that which God has placed in our hearts. I mean that you and I may understand that to trust Jesus Christ with everything that's a part of our lives is the way to go. That we may be taught and have knowledge of what sin is, that we may be taught and understand where our salvation comes from our Lord and Savior and from Him alone. And the more we seek after that, the more He'll bless us to be able to be drawn closer to Him, to understand more of the brightness of the glory of the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. To be able to live our lives in such a way, in spite of the imperfections of this flesh and shortcomings that exist, to in some small amount glorify God while we travel here on this earth in the eyes of those of God's children who are blessed to see the power of the Spirit of God that works in us. It's in us, but not of us. It's of Him. And it comes in the new birth, and we are trusting that the Lord and believing that the Lord's promises of walking and talking and being with us are true. It's not just something that's we confine to the inward man and let the flesh continue on in unbelief, but rather manifest the righteousness that God has placed in our hearts through this vile body, that others of God may see our works and glorify the true and living Father. That we may learn how to have fellowship with the Lord. And I'm not saying bring Him into obligation. What I am saying is there's a promise left us that if we trust Him and the things that He said and told us to walk in and follow after, there's a blessing that's going to come our way. Now, we can't order it up like a hamburger at McDonald's and get just what we want, how we want it. But I'm saying that God has promised you and me a blessing is far greater than what we would have asked for. That's foolishness to the world. Yeah. That's foolishness, sadly, even to many of God's children. But to us to whom the Lord has opened our eyes to see, let us never let that guard down. Let us never assume that it doesn't matter what someone believes or what I believe or what I practice or what others practice. It matters. God has a people out there that are caught up in that darkness. And all of us, in some fashion or another, were caught up in that darkness at one time. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, so that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He be Gloria. Let him glory in the Lord. May the Lord bless and keep you is my hope and prayer. Yeah, well.